O Lord, our Lord, how great is thy name in all the earth. Who hast set thy glory above the heavens, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also had highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or nakedness, or famine, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things it is written, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. And thank God for the Bible. It tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm bound. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible. It exalts the Savior's name. Ladies and gentlemen, it would be an understatement for me to say that I'm glad to be here today. I have come through, as most of you know, a very critical time of illness, down into the jaws of death. But God.
Amen.
But God. Now, I'm not going to belabor you with the details. Perhaps tonight, when you will be more relaxed and you won't have to run to the cafeteria or pick up the grandbabies or get the morning paper real quick or turn the television on, you'll have a little more time. But I want to share with you tonight some of the things that God has brought me through. Let me say this. You're looking at a miracle of God's healing grace. So much for that. Now if you'll open your Bible. By the way, did I tell you that when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about on this Christmas Sunday from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 1 and the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. As you're finding your place in those two precious passages of Scripture, I need to remind you again that as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives.
Amen.
And the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I'm glad it's settled right here on this earth, in this timeless book that we call the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful and precious, and perfect and pure, and pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. Thank God for the Bible. Now, with your Bible open to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, I'm going to read, beginning at verse 18. I shall read down through verse number 21. We'll go to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, and read verses 10 and 11. And I shall read after we pray. Our Father, we are indeed grateful for this hour, for wonderful music that's thrilled our hearts and pointed us to the birthday of the King. And I pray that in the midst of all celebrations, all the joys, the exchanging of gifts, the singing of the carols, we would never forget what it's all about. That time when you became man and dwelt among us, lived and died and lived again, and at thy right hand Jesus makes intercession for us. Now bless the reading of your word. Give us permission to read it. It is so powerful and precious and perfect and pure. We want to read it as you want it read, and I pray that it would be so. In the name of our Lord Jesus, and for his sake we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 1, verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. He and Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. I read now in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2, verses 10 and 11. That breaks in, of course, of the announcement of the angel to those erstwhile shepherds that watched over their flock by night. We recently visited that scene, and what a marvelous blessing it is to know we could, as one preacher put it, we could walk where, we could run where Jesus walked. And we did a lot of running. But listen to these two verses. Luke 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, all people, all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What a message that is. And you know, my friend, if you went to the mailbox tomorrow morning and found an envelope addressed to you bearing the royal seal of the Queen of England, I can probably guess what you'd do with it. Put it in a drawer and say, I'll get to it. No. Lay it up on a shelf and say, I'll read it when I... No. You would be anxious to open that to see what the message from the Queen was to you. Well, my friend, can I tell you that I know a story that's 10,000 times better than that? God has sent you a message that bears the royal seal of the King of Kings. You should know that you would be anxious to open it and read it and see what God has to say to you. Well, I promise you, if you'll stay tuned, I'll tell you what God has to say to you. I've entitled the message, A Message from Heaven. It comes from the angel of the Lord. I read it in two places. I submit to you in the first place that this message tells us that God is the giver of heaven's greatest gift. Paul put it this way in Romans 8:32, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Ladies and gentlemen, Christmas is more than toys and tinsel. Christmas is more than ribbons and road trips. Christmas is more than Santa Claus and sleigh bells. Cookies, more than cookies and cakes. Christmas is the birthday of Jesus Christ. Unto you, aren't you glad it's that way? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. Did you get that? Not just a teacher, but a Savior. Not just a philosopher, but a Savior. A Savior. And he says, which is Christ, the Lord. Christmas, I say, is Christ's birthday. Christmas is the eternal Word becoming flesh. The Creator becoming the creature. The Most High becoming the Most Nigh. Christmas is God becoming man. In John chapter 1 at verse 14, John put it this way, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. One day a 6-year-old boy answered the knock at his front door. To his surprise, it was his father returning from Southwest Asia. The little boy did not say to his father, Father, what did you bring me for Christmas? Oh no. He threw his arms around his daddy and said, this is the greatest Christmas I ever had. My friend, could I say to you, if you'll embrace the God of all the universe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, Christmas of 2013 will be the greatest Christmas you ever had. There can be nothing higher or greater or more nobler. On the other hand, and please listen carefully, and may I say this as tenderly and tearfully and compassionately and lovingly as I possibly can. If you refuse to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will spend eternity in hell. I see in the second place that this message from heaven tells us that the motive behind God's gift was his love. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God upon would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. Listen to what God says to you and me in Jeremiah chapter 31 at verse 3. God, Jehovah God, the sovereign God, the creator God, said to you and me, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Not with a 30-day trial. Not for a year, not for a decade, not for a century, not for a millennium, but forever. I have loved thee with an everlasting, never-ending love, world without end. In 1 John chapter 4 at verse 8, there are three words that sum up everything that God is, all the attributes of God, all the mercy, the kindness, the grace, the compassion. All that God is summarized in three words. God is love. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we loved him, not that we loved God. We had nothing in us to make us love God. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, that is the mercy seat, the place of sacrifice for our sins. The sum and summation of God's love is found in 25 words, all of which are written in red. They are found in John 3:16. I should tell you that everything in the Bible has its roots in John 3:16. My friend, you will never find words comparable to these in any of the writings of Socrates or Aristotle or Plato, or any scientific journal or medical periodical or any political document or any congressional enactment. You'll find them only in the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of the living God. Amen. 25 words, and here they are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, I'm glad it's that way, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, that word world there means the whole inhabited earth, all 7 billion members of Adam's wretched, ruined, rebellious race. You see, every man in Adam's race is on God's most wanted list. And that includes you, my friend. Listen prayerfully as I tell you, God loves you. Jesus died for you. God wants to save you. And he wants to save you today. Because today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Amen. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come, for all things are now ready. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. The woman out in Los Angeles, California, said to a newspaper reporter, no one ever knocks at my door. No one ever rings my telephone. No one ever writes me a letter. And I'm dying of loneliness. The kind reporter published her story in his newspaper, giving her name, her address, and her telephone number. In just a few days, the letters started pouring in. Her phone rang, flooded with calls day and night. Scores of people beat a path to her door. What did she learn from all of this? She learned that there was plenty of love out there, but she had never made known her need for it. And my friend, could I tell you that Christmas tells us that God has plenty of love out there for you and me. We just need to let Him know we need it. But I tell you, my friend, when you come to the altar today, and I hope some of you will come, when you come to the altar today, you don't have to bring a prepared prayer of 100 flowery words. You don't have to repeat a catechism that you memorized as a child. You don't have to speak to God in theological terminology. No, no, no. All you need to do is to tell God that you need Him. Amen. And He'll take up from there. The third thing about this message from heaven is that all men are included in the scope of God's love. You know, and I know, that most Christmas gifts are labeled for a certain person and given only to very special individuals. But you know, God has your name on His gift. Doesn't matter what your name is, how you spell it, whether it's French or German or Spanish or Latin or English or any other, God has your name on His eternal gift. You will see that in the next few days, what I've said about the gifts to certain people will be true as we approach Christmas. But ladies and gentlemen, I hasten to tell you, that God, listen, God is no respecter of persons. Peter in the house of the Gentile, the major, stood and said in Acts 10:34, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. For in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. You see, God offers His gift of love to all men, regardless of their name or nationality, regardless of their creed or color, regardless of their condition or credential. The blood of Jesus Christ can change the leper's spot and make the vilest sinner clean. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the streams thy bleeding wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Then, in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy praise to save, and this poor listening, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. Many of you I know have heard the name Mel Trotter, notorious sinner, saved by the grace of God, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We know him from the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission. On his deathbed, he issued these final words: I am in perfect peace, resting on the blood of Jesus. I find this amply sufficient to enter the presence of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm prepared to tell you that God loves the man planting rice in China as much as he does the man planting corn in America. I'm prepared to tell you that God loves the prostitute in the slums of the city of Fort Worth as much as he loves Miss America on the stage in Atlantic City. I'm prepared to tell you that God loves the sinner on Skid Row as much as he does the saint on the front row. You saints out here on the... Nobody on the... No saints here. You saints over here. But God loves that sinner. It's out there wallowing in his own vomit this morning as much as he does you with a sweet perfume that gives you a pleasant odor for the people around you. Now I'm going to close this message with the most unusual letter I have received in 63 years of ministry. It has no date on it. It's handwritten. It's in an ordinary envelope. It just says, Brother Barber. Handwritten on both sides. And it reads like this. Please don't miss one word of it. Dear Brother Barber, I had to write to let you know what effect your ministry has had on my life. Many times I listened to your message and thought what you said and how you expressed Christ was stupid. I laughed at your God by ignoring him. He wasn't really there. I was a Satanist, as well as a part of the Nazi movement. As bad as it sounds, Christians were not anything more than lower life forms to me and my friends. I could do anything, and I didn't need your God's help or his permission. I sold my soul to the devil. I signed a pact with my own blood, and after doing so, I read the small print. If I tried to get out of the group, I could be killed. But then I remembered what you said and how you told me I could be saved if only I believed the Lord and asked him to help me and change my evil life. I got me a Bible and read it and reread it. God saved me. Amen. I don't understand why he would do that, because I was so evil and I hurt him so badly. But he did. We see the love of the Lord so much because we see the love of the Lord through you. Jesus can save anybody. He saved me. Thanks again for your ministry and all you do to keep the old-time religion alive and well. She signed her name. I will not give it. She may be in this congregation this morning. I don't know. But I know this. The blood of Jesus Christ, amen, can make the vilest sinner clean. Amen. And I pledge to you this morning, afresh and anew, I'm going to do all I can to keep the old-time gospel alive and well. In fact, I'm preaching on it tonight. This is a commercial. The old-time religion of Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Our heads are bowed. Altar's open. Invitation has begun. Who'll be first to step out this morning and commit your life to Jesus Christ? Who'll be first as a church member, as a Christian, to come dedicate your life to Jesus? And remember what this dear person said in this letter. God saved me. And he can save anybody. Who will be first to come and submit yourself for church membership, perhaps through baptism? Transfer of your letter on your statement. Who will be first as a born-again believer, as a Christian, to say as 2013 ends and 2014 looms ahead of us. I'm going to dedicate my life to be a better Christian, more effective witness, love Jesus more, read the Bible more, pray more in 2014 than I have done in 2013. I'm going to pray. As I said, the altar's open, invitation has begun, some have already come. After I pray, the choir will offer the invitation appeal and hymn. You come, you come, you come, as you are. Father, I thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for what it does, working in the hearts of men and women, and boys and girls, and young people. Bless these dear ones that have made their way to the altar, and others that will come, not bringing any great essay or short story or long story, just coming and telling you that they need you. They need you today. May it be so in Jesus' name while we sing. There is a fountain.